I'll talk about some recent developments of the practice of standing formulation of strengthening theory, which is based on a number of papers, in particular these three, where this one has just only recently appeared. And I will start by motivating a type of no-local models which appear in Tarkin condensation, and which elicited a lot of questions. Then proceed to describe a method which allows one to localize these no-local models, and also to construct explicit solutions. Then I will give some examples, mainly applications in string field theory, and then proceed to outline what is the relation between this method and the structure of the Legrand independent field. Now, there are many ways in which people looked at Tarkin condensation and the Tarkin mode in open string field theory, and Sen was among the first to pioneer it in a conformal field theory framework. There are other approaches which use effective actions of Dirac monopole type, but here I will mainly interested in formulations of interactive string, and there are several candidates for a theory of string fields. One is the boundary string field theory, and the other one, which will be my main focus, is open string field theory, also called the cubic because of the interaction term is a cubic. Now, I will just illustrate how it looks like in the case of a bosonic theory, and the supersymmetric case is more complicated, but more or less all the ingredients will follow in the same way. So this is the Witten's action, where this is the coupling, the open string coupling. And the one defines an integration and star product in a certain way. Q is the RST operator, and this is a cubic interaction term, which basically tells you how strings interact, open strings interact. The equation of motion is this. And the system is invariant under an infinitesimal digit transformation of this form, where lambda is a field with zero ghost number. Now, in order to do practical calculations, one has to choose a conformal field theory which realizes the star product, and in which one can represent the string field. In that case, one can expand it as particle fields, which correspond to the particle fields of the perturbative string spectrum around the perturbative vacuum. Sorry?
Every operator, the CFT.
Well, the. In this case, well, yeah, here, okay, the first term is just the Tarkin mode, then you will have you will have odd forms with usual creation matter creation inhalation operator, and yes, it will contain also ghost fields. Now, if one truncates the string field at the lowest possible level, which is called 0,0, you basically switch off all fields except the Tarkin. And in principle, this simplification should allow you to capture, at least qualitatively, all the main features of Tarkin condensation and the brain decay processes, which are, in fact, governed by the unstable mode. Now, if you do so, you end up with an effective space-time action. And in the bosonic case, it's in 26 dimensions, but in the supersymmetric case, you'll have something similar, where R star is just a number dictated by conformal invariance, and the potential term is actually contains a local operator, which might be expanded in as a series, and it contains an infinite number of derivatives. And typically, these kind of models are called no-local for this reason. So now the problem is how to deal with these systems in general, and in the particular case of string theory. And in fact, the first question is precisely this.
The local because you have a local operator in the second
life. It comes from integrating out the graviton or something.
Sorry, no. This is open string theory. So you have no graviton modes. Because that pertains to the closed sector, and that's a different business.
I see. But so there must be some massless field that gives you this long range interaction, right? Is it there's a photon or something?
Interaction is basically is because the system is defined as to be no local. No locality is just because if you look at the worship formulation, the interaction is no local because it is made of halves of strings glued together, which is scattered into a third string. That is a Witten surface. And the fact that you're dealing with extended objects is if you want is the source of no locality. Now,
aside from string theory, these type of theories have been a problem because the initial condition, the issue of initial conditions is not well defined, because in this case you would have to specify an infinite set of initial conditions. So if the solution is analytic near the initial condition, then if you know the initial conditions, you already know the solution. So the Cauchy problem is absolutely non-standard. Then in the Ostrogradsky formulation, you would have an infinite number of conjugate momenta, so the Hamiltonian formulation isn't clear, and also the quantization if you desire to quantize this type of theories. Furthermore, it's difficult to construct a systematic systematically solutions of no local solutions, and until recently all the perturbative methods were available, and by perturbative I mean that you just truncate the no local operator at finite order, and needless to say you would end up with a theory which is physically different from a no local theory, and in general you would have ghosts. And also there are some other considerations regarding cosmology which I will not have time to discuss today, although there may be some interesting applications. Now, going back to string theory, another question is what are the non-perturbative solutions of a theory? Well, we do know solutions corresponding to marginal deformations. These solutions correspond to looking at the starting point of a brain decaying process, but not being able to follow the decay until the very end. So it's these solutions capture some of the physics of the brain decay, but only for in a limited radius of convergence, and in fact they are represented as a perturbative series. However, a legitimate question is whether we are able to find the non-marginal solutions for non-marginal configuration, which should be able to describe the brain decay until its very end. Furthermore, once we have this method at hand, we should ask ourselves why it works. And fortunately, I mean, it's not a chance that the method I will show you does work, because it basically inherits the structures of the full theory at the level of effective space-time action. So I skip the cosmological questions. And I will propose a method based on the diffusion equation, which makes this system, the local system, local, and where the Cauchy problem and Hamiltonian formalism are well defined. The energy momentum tensor is naturally recovered. And as a bonus, we have also an analytic recipe to construct non-perturbative solutions, non-perturbative, non-local solutions. We will recover the solutions for marginal deformations, which are known in the flow theory, and which are infamous because of the wild oscillations they display. And we will find the solutions also in the supersymmetric case, actually. Plus, we will have also solutions which correspond to a full brain decay process. So they correspond to solutions which are not known in the full theory at the present. Finally, we will argue that the diffusion equation is a space-time manifestation of the gauge symmetries of the theory. This is true also in the full theory, because all the known solutions in that case are indeed superpositions of states which diffuse in the ground independent sense, which I will explain later. All right, so I basically argue that we'll address all issues about non-locality for general types of non-local models. And these models actually will be of this form, where I will have this type of non-local operator. Here, I will have some non-linear interaction in general, which actually might contain in its other non-local operators. And in the case of open string field theory, this number is given. This kinetic operator is basically the Klein-Gordon operator. And as a potential, I'll have either a cubic potential in the bosonic case or a quartic type potential in the supersymmetric case. In the p-adic string toy model, also this number is given. The potential is monomial, and the kinetic operator is trivial. So there is no local, there is no non-trivial local dynamical limit of the p-adic case. Now, the diffusion equation method actually starts from a kind of weird assumption that we promote a constant to a variable, and interpret that R star is a fixed value of an extra evolution variable, and the scalar field to live in 1 plus d dimensions. So in general, it will depend on the space-time coordinates and this auxiliary variable. Now, if we switch all the local operators to zero, I will get the corresponding local system, which in general will have a solution corresponding to an initial field configuration of an evolution along R. Now, in general, a solution of a non-local equation will be for some non-vanishing R. And notice that since the initial configuration is a field, in it I should already include the infinite number of initial conditions which are noticed when looking at the Cauchy problem of a non-local system. Now, the second step is to assume that this scalar field obeys the diffusion equation, where gamma is, by the way, in general, this D'Alembert the system can be evaluated on any smooth manifold. So in the string case, this will be just Minkowski, but one can find solutions also on the graph. And here, gamma is an arbitrary coefficient. It's a constant. Now, the solution of the diffusion equation is of this form, as is known in textbooks. And by virtue of this, one notices that all the local operators just act as shifts, as translations along the auxiliary direction. So in particular, I am able to write these objects as the same square field, but with the first argument translated. So, in particular, since the system has been somehow localized, the Cauchy problem and the Hamiltonian will be well defined. I will have a finite number of degrees of freedom or initial free configuration, and in particular, the number is actually 4, as I'll show you in the next slide. Now, one can make this approach slightly more formal, and starting from an action which is actually d plus 1 dimensional, so I have an integration also over R, where there is a part for a scalar field which is a local part in as much as it's evaluated at different points along the vector directions. U is whatever potential you want. And then I have another piece where there is an auxiliary field. And this basically will act, will correspond to impose the diffusion equation over the system. Now, the equations I'll get from that system are the scalar equation of motion evaluated at some R star, the diffusion equation, and then a constraint which relates the field key with the scalar field key. And this will depend on the kinetic operator you choose. Now, one can also compute the energy momentum tensor, which in the non-local case is, of course, is doable, but it's
the second term is chi phi.
Yeah. You have a question about that, or?
No, just wanted
to. Okay. Yeah, the energy
momentum tensor is very lengthy to calculate in the local theory by looking at variations of a metric. In this case, it's almost straightforward, and it will be of this form, where the first piece resembles that of just the scalar field, with the difference that now I'll have arguments. I'll have different arguments, and the non-local part will feature also this other this auxiliary field, which you can re-express as in terms of phi. But the interesting thing is that it's this structure is exactly the same as the non-local tensor reproduced in the non-local theory without assuming anything about diffusion equations or whatsoever. Now, I will skip the results in the Hamiltonian formalism and go to the way to construct solutions. Well, in general, I'll be mainly interested in an integral form of these solutions. And after defining a normalized measure in this way, the claim is that a solution of a diffusion equation will be of this form, where W is determined by the initial condition and is a solution of a diffusion equation in rho and x only upon integration. The reason why I use this integral representation and not others, which might be simpler, will become transparent later. In particular, this W obeys the Laplace wave equation in its first and second argument. And the difference between Laplace and wave will be just the sign which with which you define your diffusion equation. Now, there are two options now. We have to choose an initial condition. And this can be a smooth or a distribution. In the first case, there is a recipe to construct the solutions. And basically, the idea is to end up with something which depends on the background. It is a solution of a diffusion equation. But to check whether it is also a solution of a scalar equation of motion, one has to look if there are some values of gamma and the normalization of a solution such that the equation of motion is actually satisfied. So in general, you, if you are lucky, you will find the exact solutions. If you are not so lucky, you will find approximate solutions. However, these approximate solutions might be very good approximations if you're lucky, or in other cases, you may not even find a solution at all. So, at this stage, we do not have much control about whether we will really find a solution of a system or not. Now, the other case is when the initial thing configuration is a constant almost everywhere. In this case, the diffusion equation naturally smears this distribution to a smooth function. And of course, I have in mind too many examples of a Dirac distribution, which becomes a Gaussian, or the sine distribution, which becomes the error function. And this will be actually my candidate for a King solution in Schwinkel's view. Now, as an example of a solution with smooth initial conditions, I'll show you the supersymmetric open string field theory tachyon. And by choosing this initial condition and applying definition of integral representation of a solution, I will end up, after some elementary steps, with a series, an infinite series, whose coefficients I will notice as C con n. And this is the, just forget this this dashed line, this is the solution I'll get. And as you can see, well, partly C, it starts, reaches a local maximum, and then a set of wild oscillations is triggered. This is very similar to the bosonic solution, which was also available with a perturbative techniques. And since this is actually the only solution we know, both at the level of the diffusion equation method and of the full theory, it is interesting to compare the exact solution with this solution and see what are the differences. By exact solution, I mean one which has been computed at all levels, so without switching off any of the particle fields of the string. Yes. Okay. Now, here there is a comparison between the value of the coefficients of the exact solution and those of the diffusion solution and those calculated on shell at level 2. As you can see, the there is also a level 16 calculation, and actually it's worse than level 2. So the higher the level, the greater the difference with respect to the exact solution. And the reason why the zero-level solution works so well is that here we take a locality into account. So this is basically an off-shell computation. Well, level truncation procedures typically go on-shell. So they basically neglect, they take into account more fields, but they neglect no locality. And this is a logarithmic plot where the squares are the coefficients, logarithmic coefficients, of the diffusion solution. So it's true that the difference, the discrepancy increases with the order one is considering. However, this discrepancy is logarithmic. Now, as far as the other case is concerned, that is to say the distribution type in initial configuration, well, there is a very simple example, which is the lamp solution of the periodic string, from which is obtained starting from a delta. And this is a very well-known solution, which might admit also a solution also on a cosmological setting. But here we are mainly interested in the supersymmetric string field theory. And actually, starting from the sign, one gets the error factor, which is indeed an approximate solution. Well, how well approximate? One can compute the global error of a solution and find out that it is not greater than 1.4-1.5%, which, given the fact that we've used only pencil and paper and no numerical algorithm, this is a very good approximation. Now, how it looks like? Well, the error function is a kink, and the system in this case has a quartic potential. So here I illustrate the case where the kink is okay. The kink in general is one-dimensional solution. Now, if the dimension you're looking at is time, then you can try to compute tunneling probabilities, and in that case, that will be the solution of the Euclidean problem. And in fact, this is the static potential for the Euclidean problem. And the potential in this case is highly non-local because you have nested non-local operators in it. And however, one can see that it's that is a solution also for the an approximated potential, which is purely quartic with no non-local insertions. This is the only way we have been able so far to consider these non-local potentials even numerically. So this is a I might say this is an achievement in its own, just at least as a mathematical curiosity, because it was not clear even at a numerical level how to deal with this type of non-locality. And secondly, this type of approximation was invoked in many papers to simplify some calculations, but it was not clear in which case this approximation was valid. Well, it turns out that on this solution, this approximation is good. Now, still in the case of the time of the instanton solution, we can check. I mean, what is the tunneling probability associated with this non-local system, and compare it with the usual textbook result. In particular, we are interested in the resonant frequency between the two minima of the potential, which is defined as follows, where S naught is the action computed is the action pulled over the solution, and the NK is determined by a functional determinant. Now, the final result is the following. And if one compares with a local system where the usual kink is a hyperbolic tangent, one gets this number. So there is a difference of about 1 to 3%, which is larger than the level approximation of a solution. So the conclusion is that non-locality does influence the physics, but not too much. And there is no obvious reason why it should be so. However, there is an even more interesting application of a solution, and that is when it is a space-type kink, because in that case it's closely related with the sense conjectures, and I use quotation marks because by now they have been proven analytically thanks to the works of Martin Schnabel, and according to which the Tachyon vacuum of the theory corresponds to an unstable brain in the supersymmetric case to an unstable means a non-BPS, and corresponds to the full target, which decays into a stable brain of higher codimension. Now, a kink solution for the tachyon is actually interpreted as the BPS brain localized at the origin, and the tension of this BPS brain is just given by the pullback of the action. Now, in general, so this will be the tension of the stable brain. This is the tension of the unstable brain. The prefactor is takes into account the fact that this is of a higher codimension, and the factor of the square root of 2 is because one brain is stable while the other is not. Now, since we can compute this object, we can ask ourselves whether the brain tension ratio is recovered. At the end of the day, you find this number. So you get the exact result up to one part over 1,000. And this is because we have taken the locality into account. If you made a calculation with no non-locality, just the local system, you would have got just 62% of a brain tension ratio. Now, the open issues are, first of all, how to choose the initial field configuration, because I gave you three examples, but in general there might be more. And why, actually, the other question is why this method works so well, because after all, we are still at zero level approximation. So this is this might sound like magic, so there must be, hopefully, there should be some explanation of this, which basically boils down to find out whether there is a relation between the diffusion equation approach and the structure of the full theory. So now I will move to the full theory for a while. And so this is the bosonic case with the ground-independent equation of motion. And we've seen the infinitesimal gauge transformation, but in general, one can also concoct large gauge transformations over the system. And the question, how large is the gauge group, the symmetry group of a model? As far as I know, it is not known. People do know that it contains different diffusion symmetry at the level of space-time, supersymmetry, and importantly for us, the reparametrizations of the open string. Now, first thing once one has chosen a conformal field theory is to present the worksheet on the conformal plane. There are several possibilities, which a priori one is no better than the other, but for technical reasons, actually, one will be better than the others. Anyway, the most popular are the similar presentation where the string, the worksheet is just an infinite strip, where R and L are respectively the right half and the left half of the string, and M is the string midpoint. Then we have the upper half disk presentation, where the worksheet is a disk, and finally the semi-infinite cylinder presentation, where the midpoint of the string is at conformal infinity. In this case, the right and left part of the string will actually behave independently, and this will be crucial to construct analytic solutions, which were first found by Schnapp. Once you have chosen a presentation, you can choose a conformal frame, which means mappings of a string on the conformal plane within the same patch. Now, an important tool for constructing solutions is a commutative subalgebra of a star algebra, which is made up of what are called the wedge states. They are defined by this relation. And in particular, in the disk presentation, they are actually wedges of an angle proportional to some number. And because they can be represented by Riemann surfaces, they are also called surface states. And actually, they are a particular example of surface states. Now, the first element of this subalgebra is the so-called identity state. The second one is the SL2R invariant vacuum. Here I am at zero ghost number, so I'm not considering ghosts for the time being. And then there is another element of the algebra, which is actually the sliver state, which corresponds to the limit of R going to infinity. And this is a type of a special projector which are surface states with which feature the string midpoint at in the verb boundary. Now, the fact that the string midpoint is on the boundary of the surface state means that the surface state is idempotent. And these projectors are important because they define conformal frames wherein the theory can be solved. And in fact, the half cylinder presentation is one of is one where one can define this conformal frame. Now, there is another way to write down an explicit way to write down a web states by using the zero mode. This corresponds to the zero Virasoro mode of the stress energy tensor in the sliver frame. And one can show that the web states, with this again was done by Schnabel, can be written in this form where I is the identity state. And in the half cylinder presentation, so wedge states are stripped of a certain width, and this operator creates a semi-infinite strip of a width which will depend on R. So if you, for instance, increase the number R, you will get a larger and larger strips. As a consequence of the definition of a wedge state, they are diffusing in the sense that they obey this background-independent diffusion equation, where this derivation acts as the background-independent counterpart of the null inversion. Now, people have found exact solutions of the full theory by using this wedge state. And there are some number of interesting results. The first is that all solutions of the bosonic theory can actually be described as formal gauge solution. So basically, one that can be written in terms of the larger singular gauge transformation, which basically the idea is that you start from an enlarged Hilbert space. And you pick a state in this enlarged space. This solution, in general, will be not physical, will be not normalizable. Now, one can define a gauge transformation, which will be larger or even singular, such that the state actually goes into a state in the physical Hilbert space, and the resulting solution will be physical and normalizable. Also, there are several mappings between the bosonic and SUSY theories. So in particular, if you look at solutions in the bosonic theory, you can map it to solutions in the supersymmetric theory. So it is not restrictive, for instance, to look at the bosonic theory. So the first solution which was found is the vacuum solution that corresponding to the non-perturbative string vacuum, which is can be written as an infinite series, and in the limit of a gauge parameter going to one, where the elements of this series are wedge states with the ghost insertions. So basically, you add up all wedge states with ghost insertions, and in a way such that you can construct the true vacuum of the theory. It's very interesting that this solution actually admits an integral form of this type, where P is an operator which will depend on ghost on C and B ghost, which is the ghost sector of the theory. And we will use this result later. Now, for marginal deformations, people have not found yet an integral representation, but there is a series representation. But now the parameter lambda can be even smaller than one, and the solution still be physical. And these are, again, wedge states, but with insertions on their boundaries. And the insertions will be operators corresponding to the marginal deformation. Now, all of these solutions can be generalized to other conformal frames, that is to say, to surface states which are not wedges, but this is not important with what I say. However, open issue is where everyone can find out other solutions, and in particular, solutions for non-marginal configurations. And also, again, whether the other solutions meet the simpler representation for a different key. Now, the diffusion equation, here is where is the link between the background event framework and the space-time framework, because the diffusion equation actually can be seen as being related with some of the gauge symmetries of a theory. For instance, considering a conformal considering two frames, now I'm talking about space-time frames, so two metrics related by a conformal transformation, and consider also a scalar field which is massless in one of the two frames. Now, naively, if you perform a conformal transformation on this massless Klein-Gordon equation, you will find another equation in the other frame, which is nothing but a diffusion equation when you identify the linear derivative with respect to a certain vector with the derivative along the actual direction. Now, this actually implements, so the diffusion equation basically is a conformal transformation in disguise. And one can see it as a transformation going from zero to infinite momentum, because now this equation is actually, well, well, one could consider it to be nonlinear, but well, anyway, so the thing is that okay, like wedge states reparametrize the vacuum of a theory. Vacuum is just one element of the surface states algebra, and one can take the vacuum, perform make it diffuse with the L plus operator and get another wedge state with different R, and that will be a reparametrization of this vacuum state. The same thing happens here, where I start from a field which is basically at zero momentum, and I end up with something which is at non-zero momentum. So, in particular, one can regard the diffusion equation as realizing something which is not a small Lagrange transformation. Whether it is large or singular, at the present is not clear. However, it does implement a beautiful lesson from the full theory, which is that if you start from a state which is trivial or even non-physical, you do end up with a physical state if you implement a correct large gauge transformation. And as far as I know, there is the only theory where I found solutions constructed in this way. So in particular, one can go further and see that in the gauge frame G bar, the solution is constant, and actually one can show that it corresponds to a solution extremizing the effective potential of a scalar field. And it is trivially idempotent and closed in a certain sense. And this is the same structure of a projector state. So basically, the idea is that at space-time level, in a sense, so you are starting from an infinite reparametrization of a vacuum, a projector, and pulling it back to a state which is actually non-trivial. Now, so in particular, the initial condition for a quantity of the diffusion equation is identified with the projector which diffuses, and by diffusing, I mean that it's intrinsic in a definition of a surface state, and By diffusing, I mean that basically one defines his solution by a superposition of web states. So the consequences are the following. Now, we have seen that the integral representations of a space-time, we have not seen. Well, the first consequence is that the integral representation of the analytic vacuum has the same form of the integral representation of a space-time solution. And I show you here again the two representations. This is an integral times a certain measure times the solution of the diffusion equation. And for the vacuum solution, I have something which is very similar. Now, we know that all exact solutions can be expanded as expansions over surface states. The question is, there is some music from this laptop. It's not mine. Is there any way to? Well, it doesn't matter. Now, all exact solutions can be written as infinite series of surface states. And from a space-time point of view, we know that also non-perturbative solutions and supersymmetric marginal deformations admit an integral representation. So the conjecture here is that also exact solutions of that sort, when they will be found, they will admit this type of representation. Because there is actually no reason why they should not, because we already know the space-time counterpart. Secondly, the most obvious source of inaccuracy of the diffusion solutions is level truncation. And as I mentioned a few times, the level zero approximation is good because no locality is fully taken into account. This is the main difference with respect to a higher level perturbative methods, which are basically on-shared. So you have basically no local operators around. And this is because the diffusion equation is just, it does capture qualitatively the, and we have also seen in the kink, in the kink example, also quantitatively capture the features of the full theory. And this is because it's, it basically uses the same technology as in the full theory. Another conclusion is actually that only distribution type initial conditions are allowed, because smooth solutions would not actually extremize the potential. However, they might still be viable phenomenologically. And we know this because we have just seen the above example of the wild oscillations. And the reason why the approximation of the wild oscillations break after a certain abscess of convergence might be due to the fact that, in fact, we used an initial configuration which is which was not distributional but smooth. So in a sense, it was not an allowed initial configuration, but still we were able to well capture the even quantitatively, the behavior of the exact solution. So to conclude, this method is a systematic which allows one to find solutions which are non-perturbative and non-local for this type of systems. Interpretational issues in general for non-local models, which have nothing to do also with string theory, are all addressed. And we have recovered some of exact solutions. I mean, we have recovered the space-time counterpart of exact solutions and found other interesting solutions which are not so far have not been found in the exact theory. And in fact, a very interesting thing to do would be to construct these king type solutions, not only for their own sake, but also to further draw and check the comparison between the diffusion method and the results of the full field. And then there are some possible applications of no-local models in cosmology, the toy models, which I haven't discussed here. Thank you.
Can I have a question? You said that you can go, make sense of a Hamiltonian once you extend your dimensions to d plus 1.
Yes.
This considers the extra dimension as the time. So it's a Hamiltonian with the time, this extra dimension you added, the r, which goes from 0 to t.
No. That appears as basically, you have a momenta which will be of integral form, will be integrated enough.
Mm-hmm.
I have some slides actually of the part which I.
So, what about the positivity of this Hamiltonian?
Yes. First of all, let me answer the first question. This is a form of the momenta, which, as you can see, are integrals over R, and the Hamiltonian. So the now on we have a equal time for some relations. Where now also you have the delta in
the time is not the R, the time is somebody else.
Time is target time.
Is a target time. Okay.
Yeah, yes. Now this is how the matter Hamiltonian will appear, where it is a momenta where it was comes from things the previous slide, and L again is the.
So if you write the Hamiltonian in canonical variable, what is it in terms of pi and phi?
Yeah, well, the canonical variables are the
yeah. So is it positive? Can you write the expression for h in terms of pi phi and phi?
Oh, yes. But
if you have it, and yes, it is positive, or?
Yes, it is positive. I didn't write here the, I didn't write it here explicitly. Well, one thing you'll check is actually to recover.
So this contradicts what usually Woodward say. That the Hamiltonian should not be positive. No, because of the Ostrogradsky analysis.
Sorry?
Because of the Ostrogradsky analysis.
Oh, yes. The Ostrogradsky analysis, in fact, the reason is that, the Ostrogradsky analysis was first proposed for higher order theories, which in general are very different from local theories because they will have, for one thing, they will have ghosts. And you can send the order to infinity and try to do the same stuff. And the problem is that type of representation of the theory is not the one which really describes this no-locality. In other words, so if you take the no-local operator into a box and take its free expansion, The issue is whether that Fourier expansion is legal. And the answer is in general no. You can find initial fit configurations such that the Fourier expansion of the canonical operator diverges, so they are not from the point of view of the Ostrogradsky expansion is are not solutions. But if you take the same initial configuration and rather than taking the Fourier expansion, you use the diffusion equation method, you find something which is perfectly well defined.
So positive, you're sure it's positive?
Well, yeah, because the only difference with the local case is if you look at the total Lagrangian,
you get constraints, so you know it's a complicated system.
It's definitely more complicated than
you don't have the expression for it.
Yeah, well, no, not in this slide, but you can work it out by taking the explicit expression for the action and the explicit expression for the conjugate momentum, which is this, and plug it here.
Yeah, but it's not clear.
It's not clear. Yes. Yeah.
But you check that.
Yeah.
You check the positivity.
Yes.
Okay, so let's send the speaker.